So we could really make sure that we're able to focus on the Morton case law update, which is what I'll do for 30 minutes. And then, as you can see from your agenda, what you'll get afterwards is Lisa Stewart and Inger Chandler, who are going to talk about Brady and ethics. So that's kind of the introduction to the topic. And to add to that, I have to say I'm kind of geeky in the sense that I'm excited about the case law update, because for several years, we didn't really have a lot to talk about in terms of case law update for the Morton Act. As you all know, the Michael Morton Act was actually passed in 2013, but the effective date of the act didn't take effect until January 1st of 2014. So for a couple of years, it was probably more like 3 years, I think prosecutors, defense attorneys, and judges alike were just trying to grapple with what did the statute actually mean for practical purposes. And it doesn't take anyone long to figure out that that question was very difficult, because when you read the statute, you obviously see how poorly written it is. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. It's poorly written because it was a piece of compromise legislation, and it took 10 hard years of fighting, but I would dare say almost 50 years to get to the point of actually getting it passed. And so once an agreement was reached, nobody at the Capitol wanted to go in and clean up some of the grammatical problems. So it was kind of like, oh my God, it looks like it's going to happen. Let's not jinx it. And the effect of it is, I think we have probably the most substantial and sweeping discovery reform that's probably occurred throughout the entire country. But the day-to-day effect it has on us is we're pulling our hair out every now and then trying to understand exactly what it means. So in trying to tackle what it means in the appellate courts, I think it's very easy to kind of simplify the various topics into the topics you see on the screen in front of you.